There are several scripture readings this morning. One from the Old Testament, one from the book of Acts, and then I'm going to be adding one from the epistles, Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, which I'll read last. First, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, it is called the Shema, Hear, O Israel. The word hear, this is a call to worship a higher authority. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then from the book of Acts, which records in chapter 2 the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Here ends the reading of the story of Pentecost. Then the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Christians in Rome, Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O God of Spirit and truth, just as your followers did on that first Pentecost, may we experience the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray for this power which we need, which is beyond our own. And now, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and our friend and comforter. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Some of you know me well enough to know that I am not about gimmicks in sermons or in worship. However, if you are new to us, you should know that about every 3 to 4 years, we've used the theme of the sermon title on special days in worship. The title today also hints about the hot dogs that we'll have in fellowship after the sermon. And I'm not one for gimmicks, but it works. I believe this theme is appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit descending. I always like those words, like a mighty rush of violent wind. How interesting. The language is so poetic, trying to describe the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is the rush of wind and flame to inspire God's people and to empower the church in mission and ministry to the world. That's what today is all about. Let me also remind you of something else, however, and that is the advertisement for Hebrew national hot dogs. Our scriptures point to the title of the sermon this morning, and they also point the motto for the ad for Hebrew National Hot Dogs point to the scriptures as well. I'll say to you, I like Hebrew National Hot Dogs. They're one of my favorites. And they're one of my favorites because what's on the inside? All beef. And they're also kosher, which means they are sanctified by Jewish laws and they are blessed by God. That's a hot dog for any preacher and Christian. Now, their advertisement, it goes like this. Our hot dogs, right on the package, our hot dogs have no meat byproducts. They have no artificial additives. They have no meat fillers. The USDA standards allow artificial additives and fillers for hot dogs. However, we answer to a higher authority. Praise be to God. Even today on the packaging of all Hebrew national food products is that motto, we answer to a higher authority. Now trust me, there's a sermon in here somewhere this morning. Here's the question. What is the authority to which our nation stands under? What is the authority which guides your decisions and directs how you live your life on a daily basis? By what authority do you turn to? Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letters throughout the New Testament, he's writing to people again and again who are struggling how to live in a diverse, a divisive, a pluralistic world. They're struggling how to live in such a world. In fact, his message in his letters had become so effective that people were turning toward the one true God and away from worshiping false idols. And this led to controversy. It led to rioting. Because Paul's message about Jesus Christ and worshiping the one true God was causing the businesses at that time that sold pagan idols to fail. They were struggling in the marketplace because of his preaching. And in our reading from Romans, we hear Paul calling people to live by God's authority rather than by the standards of the world around them. That was his message. He said, you are called to live by a higher authority. However, you know, you and I know people make choices as to what kind of authority they choose in these days in which we live. First, consider that many people choose no ultimate authority to live by except themselves. Have you noticed that? It seems like the other driver on the road always knows how I should drive best. No authority except themselves. This isn't anything new, by the way. One of the oldest books in the Bible, the book of Judges, says it this way. When there was no king in Israel, all the people did what was right in their own eyes. The standard then, and it is now for many, the standard is what's right to me. What's right to me. And those who live by this standard, they choose to live by no higher moral authority except themselves. And oftentimes, even in trouble, they choose to face it by themselves. Consider also in our nation on this Memorial Day weekend that some people choose the standard of using how they feel about something as their moral authority. The standard is known by the popular expression, if it feels good, do it. It's okay. And many live by that motto. But over the centuries, again and again, the word no has come in response to using only our feelings or emotions as to what is right. Well, it feels okay. It's not harming anybody. It feels good. Let's just do it. That's often how people choose to interact with others as to what's right and wrong. If it feels good to them, it's okay. Well, a third authority that people choose to live by is sometimes that of letting others set the standard for the moral authority. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't let others set the standard. But you know how that happens. It goes, you know it by the popular expression, if everyone is doing it, it must be right. How many people live by that standard today? If everyone is doing it, it must be okay. Is it? Of course not. Just because everyone is doing it does not make it right or safe for everyone else, for that matter. For example, consider this story. There was once a spider who built a beautiful web, and she kept it clean and shiny so that flies would fly into it. And the minute she got a customer, she would clean up on it, hide it in a cocoon, and set it aside for later consumption. She would wrap it up so that no other flies would be suspicious. And then one day, a fairly intelligent fly came buzzing by that clean spider web, and the old black spider called out, "Come in and sit with me." But the fairly intelligent fly said, "No way. I don't see any other flies in your house, and I'm not coming in alone." But presently, consider that the fairly intelligent fly saw on the floor far below a lot of flies dancing on a piece of shiny brown paper. And this fairly intelligent fly was not afraid. He considered if a lot of other flies were doing it, it must be okay. And so he came in for a landing. But just before he landed, a bee zoomed by and said, "Hey there, dummy, don't land. That's fly paper." You're following me, right? But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back to the bee, "Don't be silly. There's a big crowd down there. Everybody is doing it. That many flies can't be wrong." You know what? He was wrong. All of them were wrong, and they were dead flies with sticky feet. Just because everyone is doing it does not make it right. The Apostle Paul said a remarkable thing to those early Christians struggling how to make decisions and by what authority. You don't do that, do you? Do you struggle to make decisions? Because instead what they were doing, they were adopting standards around them. And they were in conflict with what the culture wanted them to do and what the higher authority God wanted them to do. And Paul wrote to those early Christians saying to them, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Rather, be renewed. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The transformation of your mind. In other words, remember, you answer to a higher authority. Well, would you believe that some people choose to do what is, they decide what to do based on laws, based on legalism? A lot of us do that, using laws as their own standard, their standard. The motto for this is, if there's no law against it, it must be okay to do. But living life with the goal of not breaking the laws is not good enough. There is no law, for example, that says you must be kind to another person. There's no law. There's no law that says you have to go an extra mile to help someone. No law. You see, laws have limitations, which is to say, you cannot break any laws and still be immoral. Well, this brings us back to the Hebrew National Hot Dog motto and the sermon for today. I want to challenge you on this Memorial Day weekend as you go from here to live a life that is at least as moral as a good hot dog. Can you do that? Live by a higher authority. And the higher authority, of course, is the God we know of in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God that has been poured out into you. And so celebrate that as you go from here. And what God has poured out into you, inside of you, it will reflect what happens in your outer life, in your living. Remember how Jesus said it? He said, "You have heard it said in the past, you shall not kill, but I tell you that even if you hate your brother or sister, you have already committed murder in your heart." Remember how Jesus said, "You have been told to love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies." He said, "No greater love is there than this, than someone lay down their life for their friends." And we remember that on this Memorial Day weekend. God invites us to be pure in heart. It's a higher standard to which God calls us to live by. The Lord our God invites us to go beyond duty, to go beyond just being decent, to go beyond just what the law requires or to what we feel good about. He calls us to do more, to live by a higher authority, to live by the character of Jesus Christ himself. And one more thing about Pentecost. Pentecost is not just about the power that's within you or your great ideas or your intelligence or just your smarts. You see, the world that we live in is a world of competition and achievement. And it shouts to us the partial myth about the limitless power of our personal will and positive attitudes, that it's limitless. It does have its limits. That myth, you see, is partially true. It is a half-truth that if we only try harder or just have a positive attitude that everything will work out. That's just half-true. The rest of the truth is that every human effort is limited by our human condition, our brokenness. Every human effort, we cannot go it alone. Or maybe more to the point to illustrate this is the story from the Peanuts cartoon. It's one of my favorites. It's about Linus, who's eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And after eating that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he looks at his hands and they're all sticky. And he says to Lucy, "Lucy, hands are fascinating things. I like my hands. My hands seem to have a lot of character. These hands someday, Lucy, they may do great things. They may build bridges. They may heal the sick or hit home runs or write some kind of inspiring novel. Lucy, these hands may change the course of human destiny." To which Lucy says, "Linus, you have jelly all over your hands." And that's the truth about our human efforts. No matter what we do, we have jelly on our hands. Our human nature limits what we can do. But before I finish this sermon, don't misunderstand me. The power of the Spirit does not eliminate the need for our expertise. The power of the Spirit does not eliminate our personal willpower or having a positive attitude. The power of the Holy Spirit does not eliminate plain old hard work by you and me. We need these to do our best. But at the same time, what I'm saying to you this morning is we need to trust a power that is beyond us. And that mystery we celebrate today is the Holy Spirit. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, the church dries up. It withers away, and we are only left with our broken selves and jelly on our hands. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for these moments together. ignite our hearts and minds and inspire us this day with your Holy Spirit and send us forth in your name. Amen.